Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, friend hast thou loved us. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. For as Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified on the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said also, behold, what awareness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, and thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and vow and sacrifice of the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the people. 14 verses of Malachi chapter 1. I'd like us to bow our heads again in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. Allowing us that we might once again assemble here at New Testament Church to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful that you brought us together. And we pray this morning, Father, that you would deal with us both individually and then collectively as New Testament Church. We always stand in need of your presence and power. And I pray, Father, this morning that you'd be pleased as the Word of God goes forth to use it according to your purpose. And Father, that you'd help us as your people to see the great God of heaven, the Lord of hosts, and also to see ourselves and to see our unworthiness, and then to be so thankful for the grace of God. We pray now that you would bless each of these that we've pressed the prayer for. We pray especially for our preacher brethren that you'd be pleased to bless them this morning. You know what their needs are physically. We pray that you would be pleased to give them their health and that they might be back in their labors for you. We just ask now, Father, that you would especially be mindful of our needs, and especially be mindful of the needs of those that are here this morning that are lost. There are those that need a Savior, and we know that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know how hopeless and helpless they are apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we pray this morning that it would please you to open the heart of some lost sinner, and they would come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Pray for elderly people, those that are sick. Pray that you bless them in a special way. Now guide us and direct us and lead us. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. I'm going to preach on the subject this morning, some questions for God's people. Some questions for God's people. I believe it's evident in the day in which we live, and also I'm reading the New Testament, that the love of many shall wax cold. I believe this is evident in these last days that we live. Now, selfishness and greed sometimes influences God's people and causes them to be lax and to not be diligent in their service of the Lord. But I believe, as always, that God will confront and correct His people. There's never been a day that God did not confront His people concerning their condition. And God would also go about to correct His people. And God has the means to do both. That is, He has the Word, and He has His messengers, and He has the means that He deals with His people for chastisement, for correction. Amen. May we receive the lesson that God has for us this morning in Malachi chapter 1, especially for each saved individual that is here this morning that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now I want us to primarily think about some questions for God's people. Now He brings forth these questions here, and the first question that He puts forth to His people, and I believe also to us, when we read the Old Testament, we know that He's talking about here the children of Israel, because He also mentions the Gentiles in one verse there, that He is going to go to what He refers to as the heathen, or be a blessing to them, and is going to take His word to them, or to the Gentiles. But we do know this is, of course, to God's people as far as the Jews, but I believe that there can be application made to His people today. The first question is asked in, this is God's question for God's people, in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? The first question for God's people is, where is mine honor? Now there is an honor due to God. And it's due to God because of relation. Now we must realize that and understand that. I believe as God's people we can say He is our Father. As God's people. And so there is an honor that is due to God because of our relation to Him. He is our Heavenly Father. And the question comes forth here, and there's a lot when you look up this word honor and you see there is much said in the Word of God about a son honoring the father. Honor thy father and thy mother. And so we see in this passage of Scripture here, He says, a son honoreth his father. That's just a truth that's stated. And He goes on and says, and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? Now there are ways, I believe, that the honor that He's talking about here is manifested. One way that honor for the Father is manifested is by loving Him. Now I believe that we're told that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is, with your very being, we are to love our Heavenly Father. In so doing, this is the way that we manifest our love. When we show a lack of love for Him, it manifests that we are not honoring Him. And I believe that God's people, even as Israel needed to, God's people today need to honor their Father. But I believe that another way that we manifest our honor for our Heavenly Father is not only loving Him, but also trusting Him. That is, having faith in God, depending upon Him, relying upon Him in every situation and under every circumstance. Totally trusting Him, committing our very being unto Him. Now this brings honor to God when we love Him and when we trust Him. But I believe another way that honor is manifested. Now think of these things. Think of these things from a practical aspect. Thinking concerning how you live and how you conduct your life. Do you always do these things? Do you always honor your Heavenly Father? Another way that this honor is manifested, and that is by calling up on Him. And so we see here that I believe that we need to call upon God. We need to be able to go to Him and to call upon Him. Amen. He's always near. He's always there. He is always available for us to call upon Him. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, like they say, I won't call you. I don't want to bother you. That's not the way it is with God. You don't bother God when you call upon Him. When you call upon Him, you honor Him. I think it's the other way too. But especially, I believe that this is exactly the way that we manifest our honor for Him, is by calling upon Him. But we also manifest this honor to God by imitating and by obeying Him. That is, following what God tells us to do in our life. Now we have lots of instructions. I thought about it as we were studying the book of Proverbs. And the practical lessons that we're talking about, not to recompense evil for evil and not to get vengeance. I said, there's a whole lot to living a Christian life. There's really a lot to being a Christian, and all of this comes under the aspect of obeying God. Amen. Obeying God's word, and this is the way that we honor Him. Now, the problem here was, His people were not loving Him. They were not trusting Him. They were not calling upon Him, and they were not obeying Him. And all you have to do is not only read chapter 1 of Malachi, but read chapter 2 and chapter 3. And there's a lot more there in that. He is to be honored in heart and life. He is to be honored by our words, what we say. But I believe that our words always should manifest our actions, or what that we're doing for the Lord. So He's not only to be honored in heart and life by our words, but He is also to be honored by our actions. That is what we do. You know, you can say a lot of things in the service of the Lord, but there's a whole lot of difference in putting those words into action and doing what you have said. But we are also to honor the Lord in heart and life with our substance. That is what God gives us. This was a biblical principle here in the Old Testament. And the problem they got into here was, I believe, as I mentioned earlier, was selfishness and greed had influenced them to the place to where they were not willing to give of their substance and give their very best unto God. They only wanted to give to God what was left over, or what was lame, or what was maimed. And I believe there's a tremendous lesson for us here. Turn over to the next book of the Bible, which is Matthew, and look what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 1 through 9 of this 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? This is interesting, of course. He said, For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. We just studied that in Proverbs. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites. Now he's driving the point home. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people, now look at this, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so I believe that even as Malachi was having the word of the Lord that came to the people and telling them, they went through the motions and they said a lot of things about their love for the Lord and their service for the Lord, but it was only with their lips. Their heart was not in it. I tell you, get hold of it, Susan, hold it. By fruit. There's no need, and I believe so many times what happens is this. Many times we only give lip service. There needs, and there has to be, more than lip service. It has to be from the heart. I believe, and to be from the heart, it has to be of God. It has to be a love for God. So what they were doing, they were only worshiping Him or with their lips or talking about it with their lips, but their heart was far from them. Now Jesus, I believe, spoke of this honor in John chapter 5, and therein, verse 23 of John chapter 5, listen to what Jesus said in this passage of Scripture. Here is what that He said. John 5 and verse 23. That all men should honor the Son. Now look at this. Even as they honor the Father. Now I believe that we see here from the Word of God that men are to honor the Father, that we are to honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So I believe that Malachi, the word of the Lord, came unto the people of Israel. And here is exactly what had happened to the people of Israel. They had gotten to the place to where they did not honor God with their lives and with their practice. And you can go on and read. And so the first question for God's people is, where is my honor? Where is my honor? But then there's another question that is also asked here in verse 6. Here's the second question. And now look with me here in Malachi 1:6. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Now, fear and reverence are due to the Lord from His people. Not only is honor due to the Lord because of relation, but fear and reverence are due to the Lord from His people. Now, I've tried to explain this, and from time to time, this is not a slavish fear of wrath or punishment that's going to come. God's people don't have to fear the wrath of God or the punishment of God, but there is a fear that God's people must have for their Heavenly Father. It's a godly fear. It's a godly fear. There's nothing wrong with this fear. I believe it's a godly fear which is influenced by the goodness of God. And it appears in a carefulness not to offend Him. Too many times, we had rather offend God than to offend our friend. And then God asks this question when we do that, where is my fear? You fear your friend,
or your neighbor or your family more than you fear me. Where is my fear? This is a condition that the children of Israel had gotten themselves in. And I believe it appears by the performance of all we do in our worship. How we worship the God of heaven. It appears here, and appearance is made known as to how we fear God by the way that we worship God. Whether or not we worship Him in truth and worship Him in spirit. Now, much is said in the Bible, and there's no way that I could go into all this, but I want us to look at the book of Psalms, Proverbs, and 1 Peter. Now, we're really getting a lot of it in Proverbs, but in Psalm 111, and therein, verse 10 of Psalm 111. Now, look what the psalmist says. Now, keep in mind, the Lord said, "Where is my fear?" Psalm 111, and there in verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Now go over to the book of Proverbs and just look at some verses. These all tie together. There's probably 15, 20, or 30 of them in the book of Proverbs. But I only want us to see four of them. Proverbs 1:7. Now, the same thing the psalmist knew, and I believe the same thing that God's people ought to know, and God's people do know, and the question is asked, where is my fear? Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's a contrast there. Now look at the 9th chapter of Proverbs. Turn over there. And notice with me in verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now keep in mind that Malachi said of the Lord, "Where is my fear?" Go with me now to the 10th chapter. And notice in verse 27. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." If you'll take each one of these, if you'll take your concordance, and if you look up the word fear, you go through the book of Proverbs, there's seemingly a progressive step. And there is benefit for God's people for fearing the Lord. That is, with a godly fear. Look what he says. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." It is to my advantage, it is to your advantage, to fear God. It is in every way to our advantage. Look in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. This is the last one from Proverbs. And there in verse 6, here's what he said. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And so we see that there is a truth, a trend, and a truth that is taught here in the Word of God. I'm only give you this one from the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, and there in verse 17, and here's what it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." That is, godly fear. The fear of the Lord. Now, Israel had gotten themselves in a real predicament. They had come to the place that they didn't honor the Lord, and they came to the place to where they didn't fear the Lord. And so this caused them to do certain things. The same thing is true today in our lives. If we as God's people get to the place we don't honor the Lord and we don't fear the Lord, we will find ourselves in the same miserable condition that the children of Israel were here in Malachi. Now, let's go down to the third question, and this is in verse 8 of Malachi 1. "And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy government." Now here's the question. "Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person?" saith the Lord of hosts. Now, a practical lesson here using the governor, which was Zerubbabel. And we read all of that here in verse 8. If you come in and offer to your, let's just ask, if you offer to your governor, Wilkins, what you offer to the Lord, which is lame and blind, something you don't need, of no value, will he thank you for it? Certainly not. This is what he's saying. He will not. Will he have respect to thee on account of it? No, he won't. Is what he's saying. Now look at verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Will God have respect to your person? Will he have respect to your prayers? Now think about what he's saying. When you have been the cause of much sin and evil, when you have acted so vile apart, do you expect God to receive you as though nothing were wrong? And that's what we do. And that's many times the way we treat God. We wouldn't treat our neighbor that way. We wouldn't treat our governor that way. And this is the illustration that he is bringing forth. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? This is a question. These are questions that God's people need to ponder in their hearts. I need to ponder these questions. And you need to ponder these questions. Oh, where is my honor and where is my fear? And will he be pleased with thee or accept the person? Then there's another question that he asked. There's in verse 10. Here's the fourth question. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Now, they had come to the place that they were only serving if they were paid or if it were profitable to them. If it was some way that they could get gain by, then they felt compelled to do the service of the Lord. Only if they could get gain. I said at the beginning, a lot of the problems with Israel and a lot of our problems comes from selfishness and greed. Within ourselves, sometimes we let selfishness and greed cause us not to honor the Lord, cause us not to fear the Lord, and cause us not to be accepted of the Lord. Just because you belong to Him, He don't accept everything you do. There are some things you do sometimes that are wrong. And God is not well pleased. But we somehow or other get the idea of saying, well, it don't make a difference. God accepts whatever I do. That's not so. And we need to recognize this. And do you only serve the Lord? The idea here of shutting the doors at the temple, and they would, different times, and there was a schedule for this, different ones that do it. And they had come to the place to where they couldn't hardly get anybody that would even take care of closing the doors. Unless they pay them. I talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. And we caused that. You know, our generation caused that with our children. Pay them to do everything. I was making a visit the other day, and this one, this boy was in high school, and he was having to carry out the garbage. And boy, I can tell you what he was putting up. I mean, he really was. And I'm going to tell you who it was either. Wasn't nobody in our church, but anyway, he was really putting it up. So we see here they had come to the place, they had come to where only serving if they were paid. The smallest piece of service seemed so boresome to them. I thought about, isn't it amazing how hard it is to get people to do the work of the church? It's like pulling hen's teeth. It really is. And what it is, we've come to the place that Israel was with Malachi. They did not give of their time. Their time was more precious to them for something else. And they really manifest this. Isaiah talked about in one place, Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 11, Isaiah 56, and he says this, "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." And there's a description of many today. Now I believe that we find that I accept this? This other question, the fifth question, is in verse 13 of this. "You said also, behold, what a weariness is this." You have a problem getting here this morning? "And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, thus you brought an offering." Now here's the question. "Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" Now God's service to them was no longer a joy, but it was a weariness. And let me tell you, as God's people, when serving the Lord becomes weary and no longer a joy, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're in trouble. And there's the condition. "Both the priest and the people were of the same mind." It talks about the priest and the people. They grudged the cost of providing the sacrifice. If you ever entertain thoughts of how much it's costing you to tithe, you're in trouble. Or what you could do with it if you didn't get it, you're in trouble. If you don't tithe, you're already in trouble. But if you do and you do that, you're in trouble. If you even have that glimpse of thought. Because then is the temptation to not do it. And it's awareness too. They grudged the cost of providing the sacrifice. That's why they brought something that was ready to die. That's what they brought. Why they brought something of no value. Many times that is what happens to God's people today. If it's just something they don't need or left over some spare time, then that's great. They grudged the pains of offering here. They didn't want to build a fire unless they got paid. That went with that shutting the doors. They grudged the pains of offering. They thought they were forced to attend too often. Got to do this too often. Look at this. What a weirdness it is. Well, we ought not have to do it so often. Can't you imagine and think? They had to stay too long. It took up too much of their time. They snuffed at it. All they did was grudgingly and with reluctance. Now what kind of a worship is that? It ain't no worship at all. And God is not well pleased. Now, to show their condition, God asked these questions of his people to try to bring them to the realization of what their condition was and to what really manifested their condition, the true condition of them, is how they answered back. Because when we as God's people will submit to honor God, to fear God, to be accepted of God, we'll say, "Lord, we're wrong on some things. We want to make it right." But if we don't have intention of doing that, we're going to come back with some old smart attitude question. Now look, here's the evidence of it. The reply of God's people in verse 2. "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say." Wherein hast thou loved?
See, there's the reply. Shouldn't have been no reply like that. Should have been, the Lord I love thee with an everlasting love. And if it was a matter of sickness or death, they ought to have never replied, the Lord don't really love me like y'all tell. Something wrong with people like that. Now think with me. And you can always tell of people that have gotten themselves in this condition, and it's many times caused by selfishness and greed. It's what has brought it on. Now, another question that they come back with, verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts of you? Now look, O priest that despise my name, look here, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? And then he pursues to tell them. I tell you, we know, we ought to know if we despise the Lord's name by our action. But then look at another question that they come back with, and he answers this, another question, verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, polluted bread is not that which was required of God. And it's sort of like us offering half-hearted service to the Lord, you know, just out of duty, or feel like we have to, or if a don't preacher's going to say something to us, or somebody in the church is going to say something to us. That's polluted bread. Now look, wherein have, and you say, wherein have we polluted this? And then he said, in it you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. I believe that there's a lesson here for God's people today. I believe this was not only penned for the children of Israel. And I thought about it. If there's ever a day that we need revival, it's this morning. It's right now. If there was ever a time that we need to honor the Lord, we need to honor Him today. I mean, with our lips, with our actions, with our substance, with our obedience to Him. If there was ever a time that we ought to fear the Lord, a godly fear, it's today. If there was any a time that we ought to give Him our best, it's right now. We ought to freely give our best. We ought to sacrifice. The problem among God's people today is they're not willing to sacrifice with their substance, with their time. And we need to freely give our best and sacrifice. And then I believe He will accept thy worship, and He'll accept your service. And I believe it's important as to what we do, whether it's acceptable to God. Well, I've been trying to preach on that for several weeks now. And I use verses like Romans chapter 14, and therein verse 10, and he said this, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then I used this passage of Scripture when he was talking about in this judgment seat of Christ as to how that we will give an account. And that we're to labor to be accepted of Him. Not accepted of someone else. Not accepted of man, but accepted of Him. Now these are some questions for God's people. Where is my honor? Where is my fear? Will He be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Should I accept this of thy hand? These are God's questions for God's people. I pray that the Holy Spirit would stir our hearts, would challenge us, and would cause us to not get to the place that we'd be like Israel. but that we would give the Lord the very best of our time and of our talent, of our system in His service. When we come here to worship, when we assemble as a church, that we give Him our very best. Now, if you're not saved today, you can't do this. It's not acceptable unto Him. But God has provided a way whereby that it can be acceptable, and that is even through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, we pray that it might please the great God of heaven, that He would enable you that you might receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then stand singing Him in the closing prayer.